Well, good morning, everybody. It is so very, very good to see everyone. Many of the members of our church family here from Perry Hill Road, and a lot of visitors. And if you're visiting with us today, we're so grateful that you've chosen to be with us. As has been said many times, a lot of places you could be this morning, maybe other than here, but we're glad that you've chosen the very best to be among God's people, worshiping our Lord, our God, our Creator, and bringing glory to His name. Let me start by saying I'm not the regular preacher here. In fact, we kind of don't have a regular preacher here. He's on his way from Florida, and Lord willing, Bill Robinson will join us to begin his work here at Perry Hill Road in about 2 weeks. I think it's on the 30th that he's planning to start his work here that we're praying diligently will be very fruitful as we seek to honor God and take the precious message of the gospel to the Montgomery area and to the world as we have opportunity. I'd like to begin with the same verses that Nathan just read for everyone just a few moments ago. An amazing account of the great flood of Noah and the ark in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Lord willing, in a couple of days, Sharon and I and our family will be here in Williamstown, Kentucky, a full-size biblical dimension replica of Noah's Ark has been constructed. It's called the Ark Encounter. Hopefully all of our kids and grandkids, and if all goes well, I'm actually going to be leaving after services today to go up and get my mom in Pennsylvania and bring her back to the Ark Encounter there in Williamstown, Kentucky. It's a replica of the Ark, built to biblical dimensions from Genesis 6:15, 300 cubits long. If you do the math, they think that a cubit's about 18 inches from the tip of the middle finger of a man, an average-sized man, to his elbow. So if you do the math, about 450 feet long. And if you can't grasp that, that's about 1.5 football fields. That's a big structure, a big boat. 50 cubits wide, about 75 feet wide, and some 45 feet high, 30 cubits, three decks. God told Noah to build three decks inside the ark to house all of the animals and the provisions that he would need during the flood. The folks at the Ark Encounter spent approximately $100 million building this structure. It's a lot of money. Why? Why would they do that? Well, let me offer up a thought. It's because much of the modern world, and perhaps even so-called Christians today, view the Ark as this kind of cutesy little story of this bathtub-sized boat with a bunch of little animals on there having some fun in kind of a good time situation. That is not the case. The account, I won't say story, the account of Noah, the flood, the ark is history for us to learn from. You know the saying, those that fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I believe this is very, very true. So I'd like to just think with you for a few moments today on the subject of the ark, the flood of Noah. And maybe bring to your mind some lessons you already know. Never hurts to stir us up. And if you haven't thought about this account, this history of the flood in a while, hopefully it'll be good. I think the first lesson we learn from the ark is the judgment of Almighty God. In Genesis 6, 11 through 14, we're told, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, 'I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood.'" The judgment of God was not a cute story. In which much of the world views it today. It was a time of unprecedented death and destruction. The judgment of Almighty God, the creator of the world, of the universe, against mankind who had corrupted the world. It was his judgment against sin. If you can, just imagine in your mind what it must have been like on that fateful day when, as we're going to read here in a minute, when we're told the fountains of the great deep, boom, burst forward. Perhaps the earth splitting open. The waters held in the subterranean caverns of the earth spewing forth billions upon trillions of gallons of water. And the heavens opening up, raining for 40 days, 40 nights. And the waters rising and rising and rising. With all mankind except for Noah and his family dying, being destroyed, along with all the animals, as well as those that weren't on the ark. But only after Noah, as we're told, a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter 2:5, preached probably for over 100 years with scorning, laughing, ridicule, criticism. "What are you doing, Noah?" It wasn't very funny when those fountains of the great deep and the heavens opened up and those waters started to rise higher and higher and higher until there was no place to go. You know, the evidence for, and I've kind of talked about this a little bit in the past, the evidence for God's judgment, the global flood, is all over the earth if you have eyes to see and your eyes aren't clouded by the false science of Big Bang evolution in billions and billions of years. The evidence for the global flood, not that long ago, perhaps only 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. Fossils of sea creatures, fossils of starfish, high above sea level at the top of the highest mountains that we have today. Where'd they get there? The global flood of Noah. Rapid burial of plants and animals, the fossil record all over the world showing forth the judgment of God. Perhaps today when I got to fill my car up to make it on to Pennsylvania, the gas that came from the oil that I put in my car very likely came from all of those dead plants and animals that were buried quickly during the great flood of Noah. Rapidly deposited layers of sedimentary rock representing the erosion of rock from the flood, laid down quickly across vast areas, extending across continents on the face of the earth. Sedimentary layers such as we see in the Grand Canyon. Friends and brethren, the Grand Canyon did not form over billions and billions of years. The geology, the fossil record is clear. This happened quick, rapidly in the Grand Canyon. It is a stark witness today of God's judgment of a wicked, sinful world that had corrupted themselves. I think another major lesson that we see from the ark is, of course, the mercy of Almighty God. As God is preparing to bring judgment on the world, He still provides a way of salvation for man. Noah and his family, perhaps any that would listen to his preaching, and of all the kinds, and you notice I put in parentheses here, not species of animals. You know, one of the reasons that many people consider the story of the ark as kind of just a fun fairy tale is that how could Noah have gotten a million species of animals on the ark? Well, species is a man-made term. God said in His Word, two of every kind. And the folks at the ark encountered, from a scientific point of view, point to the fact that there were probably no more than 1,500 kinds of animals during the time of Noah. Easily, the ark, 1.5 football fields long, could have taken care of 1,500 pairs of animals plus the clean animals that had to be so easily handled, up to 7,000 to 10,000 animals on the ark. Let's read Genesis chapter 7 together as we think about this amazing historical event that happened not all that long ago. Genesis chapter 7, please read with me. The Lord then said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its male mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. And Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds and all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days of the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of heaven were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. And they had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. And for 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth as the waters increased. They lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits, and every living thing that moved on land perished. Birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. And the waters flooded the earth for 150 days. We're told in Hebrews 11:7 that by faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. And by his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. In obedience to God, Noah constructed that ark, even though it probably made no sense to him. And Noah and his family, when told to do so by God, entered the door of the ark, and God closed the door, sealing the doom of the rest of mankind and all the other animals. You know, the Bible tells us that God will judge the world and all mankind again. Matthew 12:36, Jesus says, "I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." And then Peter, speaking in 2 Peter 3:3-10, recalls the events of this historical time that people had forgotten. Know this first of all, that in the last days, mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts. That sound familiar today? And saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. For when they maintain this, it escapes their notice that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago. And the earth was formed out of water and by water, through which the world at that time was destroyed, being flooded with water." The time of Noah, the ark. Verse 7, "But by his word, the present heavens and earth are being reserved for fire, kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." Now, I believe the ark is intended to remind us and all mankind that Almighty God, the creator, sustainer of the world, has judged and destroyed the world in the past by water, the flood. And for us today, he's going to judge it again. And he will destroy the world. Not by water, but by fire this time. The ark reminds us and all mankind that God's patience is going to run out one day. As Peter, again, continuing in chapter 3, 2 Peter 3:8-10, says, "But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up." The answer for this coming judgment, of course, is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, God's plan of salvation for mankind today. The ark, God's plan for mankind during the judgment of Noah, the flood. Today, it's Jesus Christ. Just as Noah and his family had to enter the door of the ark to obtain safety and salvation from God's judgment of the world, we, you and me, mankind today must enter through the door, Jesus Christ. to find safety, salvation from the coming judgment of God. John 10, 7 through 10. Jesus says to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus Christ, the door to safety and salvation today. So the question is, how do we enter Jesus Christ, the door to safety and salvation? And God's word is clear on this. It's obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mark 16:16, as Jesus is preparing to leave this world and ascend into heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, he tells his followers, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. He who has disbelieved shall be condemned." Have you entered the door this morning of Jesus Christ? God's patience, as it did in the time of Noah, is going to run out. Perhaps this hour, perhaps this day. Eventually, it's going to run out. And when the door closes, it is closed for all of eternity. We implore you this morning, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord and found safety and salvation from the coming judgment of God, please do so. Please repent of sin in your life, confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and be baptized in the watery grave of baptism for the forgiveness of your sins, that you will find safety and salvation in this world that will be judged. If the church here this morning can be of any help to you in getting your life prepared to meet the Lord in eternity, we want to encourage you as strongly as we can. Please let your wishes and desires be known now as together we stand and sing the song that Gary's going to lead us in.